Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. Welcome to the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. It is officially July 19th, 2016. Welcome, everyone, to tonight's call. Absolutely going to have some great content for tonight's call. Many of you who listened in last week with the C.G. Siddons interview, we had some of the most downloads ever in the history of Podomatic the following day. I want to thank all of you who spread the word about that call. That was a very, very exceptional call following right off the back heels of having an interview with Alexis Romano a few weeks right behind that. On August 23rd, definitely a date to note, I'll be interviewing the great Dr. Joe Dispenza. Dr. Dispenza will be my guest on Saturday, April 15th in 2017. All of a sudden, it didn't seem that far away. Now, I know many of you are going to your company's conventions and events, rallies. There's many events that you'll be attending throughout the late summer, early fall into winter, but that is definitely an event that you want to mark on your calendar, Saturday, April 15th. That will be in New Jersey. I do not have the exact location. Sandy DiOrio, who is an exceptional event coordinator, will find a first-class venue for that event for me. And with that, I'm going to move into some of the announcements for tonight's call. Then I have a first-class call for you, a call that I've never covered in depth before on Breaking the Addiction Code. Now, that will be content for my forthcoming book, Breaking the Addiction Code. This Saturday, I will be in beautiful South Florida at the Westin Hotel right on the beach. That is this Saturday, July 23rd. Jackie Agostinelli, Lisa Pazanza, and Joy Schoenholtz will all be attending and promoting that event. That will be an absolutely fabulous one-day event, 9 to 4, this Saturday, July 23rd. July 30th, I will be in beautiful Marina Del Rey in Los Angeles, California, very close to LAX, right on the cusp of Santa Monica. What a beautiful place to host an event that is. That is a great property with the Ritz-Carlton right down the street, right in the heart of the marina. Saturday, August 20th, my good friend Frank from Albany will be hosting me in Albany, New York for the second time in less than a year. Saturday, August 27th, Joe DiBianco will be my host with the most. I'll be sharing the carpet with Dawn Ferrantino. Those of you who have seen Dawn in the last 12 months know that Dawn absolutely can deliver. I'll also be doing events with Dawn in Clark, New Jersey on September 17th and Weehawken. What a great place that will be. That's like going back to my roots. I've done many, many events in Weehawken, New Jersey with Alexis, Tara, CG, Dawn, Joe Alonzo, and a whole host of exceptional entrepreneurs. Joe DiBianco used to work the table, and Joe Alonzo brings back a lot of great memories. Dinner at Ruth Chris right across the street from the event. And I have many other events that I have booked throughout the year. Portsmouth, New Hampshire will be September 24th. I'll be in Milwaukee with Jeremy Engel for the first time in 5 years. That is Saturday, October 1st. I'll be in Long Island with Joy Schoenholtz on October 8th. October 15th, Carlotta Davis will have me in Columbia, South Carolina. C.G. Siddons and I will be in Tampa, Florida on October 22nd. That will be the first time that I've ever spoken in Tampa. I've spoken in Estero, I've spoken in Fort Myers, but never in Tampa itself. And I have booked the beautiful Marriott right at the airport for anyone that wants to fly in. October 29th, Missoula, Montana, and that will be a fabulous event as well. Any of you that have never been to Montana, that would be a great place for you to fly into. That is the area where they filmed the movie A River Runs Through It. That is where University of Montana is, and that is Kayla Johnson that will be hosting that event with me. On December 3rd, I'll be in Atlanta, Georgia, and I presently have December 17th open, and I will be filling that date very quickly. With that, I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. I have one last announcement. Any of those of you who are serious, not curious, who are absolutely committed, not interested, in taking yourself and your enterprise to the next level, and you've not experienced a free 15-minute coaching session with me, I offer those after each and every Tuesday night call, provided you are serious about at least considering hiring me to be your coach. Oftentimes, serious candidates receive sometimes a 20 to a 30-minute coaching session with me because the content gets into that type of material. So if you are absolutely committed and want to change the quality of your life and the quality of your lead attraction ability, you want to create a different brand, you want to let go of being overwhelmed or an addiction, call me at 209-932-0227 or inbox me. If you inbox me immediately during and or after this call, you will receive an immediate phone call from me either tonight or within 24 hours, provided you are serious. Also, let me know what you are seeking from collaborating with me or the insight from me. With that, we will move in to the inspirational portion of tonight's call. It gives me great pleasure, insight, and empowerment to share with you content from my forthcoming book, Breaking the Addiction Code. Now, a little bit of history on myself. I was an addict for 14 years. My drugs of choice were drugs, alcohol, barbiturates, methamphetamine, and a whole host of other situations. But underneath it all, I was also emotionally addicted to a set of feelings based on events that had created an identity. I'll be covering the events that shape our feelings that keep you avoiding, procrastinating, being and staying overwhelmed, underachieving, and under-earning tonight. Because if you're on this call and you're an entrepreneur, a business owner, you're in free enterprise and you're in the process of creating intellectual property, you're branding yourself, you're in the process of mastering your emotional skills so you can master sales skills, you want to become an effective closer, then some of the content that I'm going to cover tonight will have an impact on you because much of the population spends a great deal of their time in anxiety, overwhelmed, and avoiding mastering the skills that will allow them to be an exceptional business owner and or entrepreneur or even getting on with your life. I have been clean and sober for 28 plus years. I have assisted well over 60,000, I've coached over 11,000 clients over 60,000 hours. On any given year, I coach 2,650 hours, assisting people to understand why they do what they do. If you are stuck in denial, constantly say, how do I, and are uncertain and or sure in a disbelief and don't understand why you do what you do, then this content absolutely, unequivocally, will give you great insight into the cause that creates the effect of your emotional addictions. All addictions are based on events. There's no DNA code. They're not hereditary. You may have grown up in an addicted family, but that doesn't mean that you're an addict because of what you grew up in. Now, the events that you grew up in will have an impact on what shapes your feelings, but there's no DNA or no link to your heredity of why you're an addict. Now, you may be an adult child of an alcoholic or any multitude of situations, but once again, it's the events that cause your feelings. And if you are wired to be an addict and you're continuing to perpetuate the same situation over and over, it's going to show up in your low self-esteem. It will show up in your inability to ask, receive, and or deserve. It will also show up in how overwhelmed you be and stay. And it will also show up in how much anxiety you have day to day. That means the stories that you tell yourself. Now, if you are at a place tonight when you are so done with this, you're done with being overwhelmed, you're done with under-earning and underachieving, which is an addiction, a large percent of society, they are able to achieve for others on a job, but they have challenges achieving for themselves. If you have been a chronic underachiever and a chronic under-earner, you also have challenges with chronic debt and feel overwhelmed by the very situation that keeps you perpetuating the same set of feelings, then this call can give you great insight into the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do. Neurologically in your brain, you have a set of neurons that wire and fire based on familiar feelings. And if you are a success seeker and you are committed to letting go, then you're in the right place at the right time. Letting go is being able to let go of your feelings about events that shaped your identity. And your identity is going to be based on your personal reality, which equals your personality. And if you find yourself chronically avoiding, you have tendencies that do not serve you. You tend to get and stay overwhelmed. You find yourself unorganized, undisciplined, in disbelief, wondering why you can't let go, wondering how do I. This call will once again give you insight on the cause that creates the effect. If you are ready to let go, you have to know what to let go of. But if you continue to say, I don't know why I do, or how do I, you get stuck in these two states, then there's a high probability that you will spend a great deal of your time listening to podcasts, downloads, reading books, reading Kindle, going to events, seminars, and rallies, which unequivocally can empower you. They can also give you great insight, but you have to take insight into application. Knowledge without application is knowledge. That's all it is. It's not application. Application is where you can take the knowledge that you receive, put it into a practical application to create a result and or an outcome. When you are results conscious, outcome conscious, when you live in the solution, then you will spend a lot less time living in the problem. Now let's take a look at overwhelm. Most of society spends a great deal of their time being and staying overwhelmed. What does being overwhelmed mean? It means checked out. It means analyzing, thinking, processing, figuring it out, getting ready to get ready, chronically avoiding, and most of all, procrastination. Procrastination comes from the Latin term procrastinare, i.e. to avoid. I wrote a book back in 2010 called From Procrastination to Production. In 2012, I rebranded that book through a publishing company and retitled it The Procrastination Cure. You can find that book in each and every Barnes & Noble in America. There's one or two copies in every Barnes & Noble. Now, to let go of procrastination is to let go of the events that shaped your feelings about why you avoid. If you're a chronic starter but not a finisher, then that would be an emotional addiction that would keep you overwhelmed. By keeping a lot of balls in the air, a lot of plates in the air, by saying yes to many situations, by over-obligating yourself, by over-committing yourself, by doing too much for others, which leads to codependent tendencies, which is the whole addiction of itself, meaning you tend to enable people. If you come from a house of enablers and you come from a house of over-obligators, there's a high probability you may have taken on some of these tendencies. If you grew up in a household where you had a role before your time, if you had to be a grown-up before your time, if you had to take care of other children, take care of your parents, if you had an addicted parent that you had to take care of, there's a high probability that caretaking role has become a component of your identity, and that will also show up in your enterprises. It means you will tend to do too much for others. It means that you will over-obligate yourself. It means that you have to feel in control of other people's success and or outcomes. It means you will be in your teammates' back offices. Because they can't do it as good as you do, you will do it for everyone. Now, if that is you, that means that you're a chronic over-obligator. Now, you can actually produce yourself to success by being that chronic over-obligator in control of your control that has you out of control, but you eventually reach the law of the lid. It means you can only do and be so much. That means you have to, one of the most important situations you want to look at is trust. If you don't trust your feelings, there's a high probability you'll spend a great deal of your time analyzing. If you don't trust your feelings, there's a high probability that you were violated and you can't trust others. If you were violated in your family or people told you that they were going to deliver for you and didn't deliver. If your father or mother said they were going to pick you up on a Saturday and didn't show up, that creates trust issues. That creates abandonment issues and rejection issues that then forms a neurological set of feelings and a set of neurons that will wire and fire together that will shape and form your identity. And when you live in this overwhelmed, over-obligated state, that means that you'll do more for others than you'd ever do for yourself. Then you'll feel selfish and guilty when you'll actually go out to do something for yourself. If you go on a vacation and you feel guilty about enjoying yourself, that's a high probability you got addicted to a set of feelings about not doing enough and not being enough for others. And if that is you, then it's obviously time to L-E-T-G-O, to let go. To let go is to separate your feelings about the events that shape them so that you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape that identity. When you are you and you are free, then you're no longer the events that shape them. And when you're able to separate your feelings, then you no longer give power to people and situations. Now, if you grew up in a household where there was violence or there was addiction, there's a high probability that there was a passive-aggressive personality somewhere in your circle of influence. It's not always your parents. It can be a brother, a sister, a grandparent, someone in your circle of influence. It can be a bully on the playground. It can be a teacher, a clergyman, a whole multitude of situations that can lead to your overwhelmed feelings that create your anxiety. A body in anxiety creates a state of fight or flight. That fight or flight state keeps you in a state of cortisol, in a state of overwhelmed, in a state of adrenaline release, which then affects your adrenal system, your lymphatic system, and other organs in your body, which can lead to the diseases that affect your health. Now, if you were on this call tonight and you're committed to the process, you're in that process of releasing weight, releasing emotions, you no longer want to live in a repressed emotional state that keeps you angry, hateful, or resentful. Those are energies that unequivocally disempower you. Or you no longer want to feel rejected and or abandoned. Or you want to let go of the emotion of guilt and shame, and especially being overwhelmed. Those are the anxieties that lead to fight or flight, to fear and to doubt. Now, those create the lowest level of transmutational energy that you can actually live in society. And in that kind of energy, you're going to attract to your reality people of equal and or lower vibration than you to fulfill a set of feelings that keep you disappointed. One of the most common emotional addictions is to disappointment. And if disappointment is a way of life, then this always happens to you. Now, if you're someone who can't rest at night, you can't turn your brain off, you can't stop the noise, you can't turn off the chatter, you require melatonin, you require a barbiturate, a psychotropic drug, or any multitude of sleeping aids to rest, then there's a high probability that that's based on past events that you are so overwhelmed on that you have not let go of. When you begin to let go of the events that shape your feelings, then you can be you and you can be free. Then rather than tossing and turning, you can rest at night. Deep breathing neutralizes the anxiety that have created your neurological network of neurons that wire and fire, that form your feeling, that form your personality, that is your personal reality. As you begin to change your story and change the way you feel about people and events that violated you, hurt you, lied to you, abandoned you, neglected you, or any multitude of situations, as you can learn to practice forgiveness and letting go, you begin to change your emotional etheric energy, which unequivocally begins to change your attractor factor. Now, if you're objective, real, and honest with yourself, and you're in a place that you're really ready to embrace rigorous honesty, you want to address your anxiety and your overwhelmed state, then it requires you to be objective, metacognition. You can look at a situation for what it is without personalizing it, without judgment, without getting overwhelmed, angry, pissed off, or any kind of resentment. If you can do that, if you can separate your feelings from that kind of anxiety, and you can look at a situation objectively, where you're the objective viewer in your own life, and you can begin to separate your feelings from those events without blaming someone else, starting to own your own feelings, start to be responsible for who you are and what you're becoming. When you can start blaming your upline because you're in an inside, upside down leg, and you don't have any sales volume, no one's giving you any love, no one's giving you any attention, and you stop blaming others and you be responsible. You don't take responsibility. It's not something you take or take on. It's a be state. When you become the human being that you're capable of, and you be responsible, and you let go of your anxiety about failing, this is where many people get overwhelmed. They get so freaking overwhelmed about failing that they fail to engage and fail while they're failing. It's amazing how when you have anxiety about failing, you've already failed before you started because you fail to engage. When you let go of your anxiety about being rejected, abandoned, neglected, judged, or any multitude of situations. When you let go of the word no, seldom if ever in the English language sentence or structure Does anyone ever use the two-letter word no when it comes to deciding or non-deciding? Most of the population, when you present a business opportunity, a viable product, service, benefit, and feature that can have an impact or change your life, most of society will pass on it because they think it's too good to be true, some of them. A large percent of society can't decide. This is why they object. They don't reject you, they object. Then there's the percent of society that prejudges before they even see an opportunity, and they aren't interested. When you're able to separate your feelings from being rejected, because rejection does not happen, typically in most situations that you have a story about. As you begin to change your story, you'll change your reality. As you change your reality, you will change your result. As you change your reality, you will also change what you attract. If you continue to say, I don't know why I do this, my whole childhood was a blur, I don't remember anything that happened up to the age of 9. Well, I do. I can assist you with that. Because real quickly, I can ask you who your second grade teacher was. Name someone in your class in the second grade. Name some place you visited in the second grade. All of a sudden, you realize you do have a memory. But when you use words like always, this always happens to me, I never can, when you create those kinds of absolutes, those absolutes are your identity. Henceforth, when you say, I can't sleep at night, then you've created your identity before you start. My mind always races. I can't turn my brain off. I can't sleep without medication. That means you have now become dependent and an addict on sedatives, barbiturates, and other psychotropic drugs to keep you in a state that drug becomes your identity. Now, I will also state that there is places where medications are valuable, but I'm giving you context and generalities. If you become dependent on a situation, then that dependency becomes your personality. As you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events, as you begin to forgive, as you begin to let go. How do I let go? You let go by deciding. Letting go begins with a decision. Letting go is a commitment. The word commitment, and committed is seldom spoken in the English language. As you begin to integrate that word into your language style, I am committed. Instead of what I need to do, I commit to do it. See, your brain, your unconscious and subconscious does not separate fact and fiction. As you begin to have a better understanding of your three brains, the neocortex, your cerebellum, and your limbic brain, as you begin to have a better understanding of the functionality of the three brains, as you begin to have a better understanding of your left brain and your right brain, as you begin to have a better understanding of cause and effect and the neurons that wire and fire together that form your personality, that form your identity, the basics of quantum physics, neuroscience, you have a much better understanding about cause and effect. If you're overwhelmed, that is an effect. It's not a cause. You weren't born overwhelmed. You may be born into an overwhelmed family. It's unorganized, undisciplined, a whole family of hoarders that creates an overwhelmed feeling. But when you were born, you weren't born that way. Conditioned to behave is what begins to start to make sense for you when you start to understand that you've been conditioned to behave in a way that has created your personality, your personal reality. Then you can begin the process of letting go. But if you don't understand why you do what you do, and you don't let go of why you do what you do, then you tell yourself you don't know why you do it, then you don't have any out. You don't have any room to maneuver yourself out of the emotionally addicted state that keeps you overwhelmed. If you're overwhelmed, there's a high probability that you are unorganized, undisciplined, and over-obligate yourself. Take a look objectively at the events that shaped your feelings. But if you're someone who keeps telling yourself, I had a great childhood, but you're emotionally in the tank, and you keep telling yourself some of these same situations without being honest with yourself, then you'll create the same situation over and over, not understanding why you do what you do. In about 5 to 10 minutes, with about 90 to 95% of my clients, I can break down the cause that creates the effect of the events that shape your feeling. As you begin to let go of those events that no longer serve you, it begins to change your emotional, energetic vibration. It will also change your attractor factor. Gradually, over a period of time, as you start to be and stay grounded in your body rather than in an outer body experience where you're overwhelmed, as you start to check in rather than be checked out, as you let go of the stories that do not serve you, as you start to let go of your anxiety about being rejected, which never happens, as you become more skilled at asking a series of questions about the outcome that you seek, as you become better qualified at qualifying people for your time, as you learn how to create a relaxed interview, as you start to become more receptive and become more skilled at persuasion skills, at being able to present your products, your benefits, and your features, as you become a product of your product and develop a belief in self, as you start to have self-esteem, not just confidence, but self-esteem. You can be confident and competent and still have low self-esteem. You can be competent in a job and confident about your job skills, but in free enterprise, when you step into free enterprise, you have anxiety and a story about marketing yourself. You have a story about what your friends and family are going to say. You say things like, a lot of people prejudge what I do because it's the pyramid thing, and you have this kind of anxiety, then you've already created your outcome before you start, because you'll attract your reality, people and situations to fulfill your feelings of low self-esteem so you can justify being disappointed. Well, that's how you get overwhelmed before you start. You talk yourself in to the very situation you seek to avoid. I hope they don't ask me how long I've been doing this. I don't want them to ask me how much money I've made. I haven't made any money, so I can't approach anyone about creating money. I have not had a good product experience, so I can't expect anyone else to have a product experience that I haven't experienced. That's when you make the situation about you, overwhelm yourself, talk yourself out of a great business opportunity because of your own story. As you let go of your story, then you will change your emotional state. Your emotional state, rather than being in anxiety, fear, and doubt, you start to move into a higher level of consciousness called awareness. In awareness, you start to become objective. In objectivity, you can start to become rigorously honest as you let go of being overwhelmed. I don't know where to start. When you don't know, you have no beginning. The way you communicate will determine your action or your inaction. This always happens to me. I can't sleep at night. I can't turn off my brain. These become absolutes that keep you an emotionally addicted human doing. If you want to be a human being and let go of being a human doing, being overwhelmed about what you do and don't do, then you have to be able to let go. Letting go is being able to take a deep breath and releasing and relaxing. As you begin to spend more time in your body and less time out of your body, an outer body experience is based on an event that you checked out of it. What happened to you is so overwhelming that you checked out. Oftentimes in that kind of trauma event or whatever the situation is, in that checked out state, you've never come back into your body. You live in a state of repressed feelings, and your brain will recreate a placebo effect over and over to connect with your unconscious state that you've repressed. And then you say you don't know why you do what you do, you don't understand why you do what you do, but you stay in a repressed emotional state. Your brain constantly attracts situations to fulfill your feelings, and then you relapse. An addict's worst nightmare in recovery is a relapse. Unfortunately, a large percent of society relapses daily emotionally. They have a meltdown. They shut down. They check out. And if that is you, check in. Let go. Be present. Be aware. Be in the now, in the know. When you're in the now and in the know, you're in a state called trust. When you trust, you believe. When you're not in trust, you're in disbelief. You're not sure. You're overwhelmed. And then your self-talk reinforces your low self-esteem about always, never. These are the terms you use. Then you use words of non-commitment. I need to go there. I need to create leads. I need to get myself together. I need to clean up my apartment, my house, my deck, my closet, any multitude of situations. But if you're not committed, you're interested. There's a huge separation between committed and interested. In an interested state, oftentimes, you'll create so much interest in a state that you never really commit. You'll get so many ideas in that interested state that you're actually overwhelmed in your brilliance. Now, if you're brilliant, monetize it. But if you're brilliant and so brilliant that you have so many brilliant ideas and you're constantly changing who you coach with, who you mentor with, what event you go to, who you listen to, and you keep trying to do this and that, and you never really get grounded, and you have to be able to communicate with a team, not talk at a team. And you have to be able to not say what I think, what I do, what I believe. It's not about I. It's about you want to be able to ask questions about them. When you're able to be in your body in a relaxed state and conduct a relaxed interview, you'll find out a lot about people. When you're able to fact find, rapport build, and create small talk, now you're connecting. When you're connectable and relatable, then you're not emotionally addicted to being rejected and or abandoned. But if rejection and abandonment is a frequent emotional state that you create before an event happens, then what you're doing is you're reliving a past event to feel and stay disappointed. If you grew up in a household where you can't please someone, you have a passive-aggressive person, a narcissist, someone who is very uncomfortable with your existence because you might possibly show them up. It's very common for some parents to feel threatened by their child's brilliance. And if that is you, you know what I'm talking about. And then no matter what you do, it's never good enough. And then that parent can undermine you. If you live in a family that has a matriarchal mother, grandmother, who dominates, is passive-aggressive, and everyone has to walk on eggshells, we have to walk on pins and needles, then that means you're living in an overwhelmed state of unpredictability. If you grow up with an unpredictable person, then your body begins to be sensitized to that unpredictability. Meaning, you'll drop a right shoulder if you're right-handed, raise your left shoulder, which now affects the non-dominant vertebrae on the non-dominant side of your neck, which would be C1 and C2, and your left upper cervical, which then starts to create the subluxation, the tension mandibular joint, the pressure, the anxiety that now becomes your identity. I'm feeling a lot of pressure. I'm under a lot of pressure. I'm always under pressure. I'm pressured to make my commitments. If you're chronically late, chronically overwhelmed, this is what happens to a lot of good people. You have so much going on and so much noise going on that you don't have any peace. You don't have any separation from your past, and your past becomes your present and your past in one, and that is your identity. So done with this. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. A very, very relaxed serenity prayer. As you start to write your own affirmations, you start to state, declare, you start to live in a present state, an I am state, an I know state, then you're no longer the mind-body connection to the words words and feelings that shaped your identity. Your words are your law. Man and woman constantly are making laws for themselves with their words. Words do not return void. A direct quote from the great Florence Scovel Shinn from one of the greatest books ever written of under 100 pages, The Game of Life and How to Play It. In Chapter 3, Word is Law. Words do not return void. Man and woman constant creates laws with their words. That's a great Florence Scovel Shinn writing that in her brilliant book, The Game of Life and How to Play It. When you start to understand the power of your word, then you will begin to choose your words wisely. But if you continue to talk the way you talk as an addict, then you will bring your addicted talk into your reality. You will attract your reality codependent non-success seekers, people of low energetic vibrational energy, to fulfill your disappointment. As you begin to have a much better understanding of cause and effect and why you do what you do, as you start to address the cause that creates the effect of your overwhelmed state, as you become much clearer of why you find yourself at the refrigerator late at night, when you start to understand why you had 5 drinks instead of 1 drink, if you start to understand that why you drink a bottle of wine a night, when you start to validate and justify your addiction, well, I've had a really good day today, or I've had a really bad day today, or I've had an average day, or whatever day you've had, you just say, screw it, I'm going to have a glass of wine. Well, what happens when that glass of wine turns into 4 or 6, where you wake up with a hangover? You're very ineffective. Many people don't know this, but you can actually get a DUI the morning after a drink or 10, because you still have that blood alcohol content that sometimes will go over 0.8 or whatever it is in your reality. Because if you get pulled over in a fender bender, your body will be sweating that alcohol out of its system. Your body also, you can also stays in your breath for a certain number of hours, dependent upon what you ate, what you consumed, how you feel, any multitude of situations that you don't really understand. You put yourself at risk by being in that kind of state. And so that when the pain is great enough is typically when most addicts address an addiction. But that's the most overrated way to do it. The best time to address an emotional addiction is now. It's not about how do I, it's I am. When you move into an I am state, an I know state, then you're no longer that mind-body connection. You're separating your feelings from the event. You change your energy, you change what you attract. But when you have anxiety about making a phone call, anxiety about communicating or connecting with someone in your circle of influence, when you're overwhelmed about being judged, when you have a story about prospecting before you start, you're in a past event based on a set of feelings that have not been released, that have been repressed, then you're going to end up the refrigerator. You're going to end up doing something that will lead to this emotion, guilt, followed by resentment. You feel guilty, then you resent yourself for what you did, or you feel guilty for over-obligating yourself, and you resent the people who you allowed to over-obligate yourself. As you begin to let go of the anxiety about the outcome, that's your story. Your story is very important to your outcome. If you have a story that says, I'm not sure, if you have a story that says, I don't want to be rejected, if you have a story that you're worried about the outcome, then you will tend to avoid the outcome that you perceive to be painful to justify your feelings about being emotionally addicted, because you'll have to spend more time not failing and less time learning and mastering the emotional skills that will lead to the success principles that will allow you to one day be the person you deserve to become. Now, as you begin to devote energy in dedicated blocks of time to your recovery. Recovery is a one day at a time process. Does that mean I'm an addict for the rest of my life? It means that you have no more cheat days. When you are committed to your process, when you are committed to your success, when you are committed to your recovery, then you will stop whining. You will start to live the good life. You will start to realize that the pleasure isn't worth the pain, and that one is too many and a thousand isn't enough. One bite of cheesecake can lead to a whole cheesecake or whatever the situation is. One compulsive spending shopping spree on liability debt can lead to compulsive spending. When you become rigorously honest, then you let go of being a pathological liar. Addicts lie to themselves. It's a proven fact that addicts will lie to themselves and they'll lie to others to cover up their addictions. They sneak things in and out of their house. They hide their bills. They hide their compulsive spending. They hide bottles. They hide food wrappers. They hide credit card statements and other situations. They hide their anorexia and their bulimia. They hide behind themselves. When you are sick and tired of being sick and tired and you are so done with this, then you are ready to move into recovery. Recovery is a one day at a time. It's not a yeah, but it's I am. Your words are your law. When you start to let go of the control that keeps you in control of being out of control, then you're no longer controlling. Recovery is a process, and it can be a very relaxed, liberating state. But when you start to focus on what you can't have, when you get overwhelmed, but I can't do this. When you feel like you're denying yourself pleasure, when in reality the very situation that you perceive to be pleasure is pain, then you will no longer be that mind-body connection. As you can begin to reframe and readjust, as you start to change your reflexes, instead of relapsing, you recover. But if you're a chronic relapser, that means you have a couple of good days and five or six bad days. You have five or six good days, then a couple of bad days. You want to be in an emotionally stable state. How do I get that? Well, here's how do you. You do that by I am. I will live one day at a time. But if you get overwhelmed about how you're going to control tomorrow, you've already relapsed before you started to fulfill your feelings of low self-esteem to justify the very situation that you're in. As you begin to relax into your body, as you begin to let go, as you begin to take deep breaths that let go of the neurological network of neurons that wire and fire that shape your feelings, you virtually start to create a different space in your body. It's that different space in your body that allows you to transcend levels of consciousness. So you can virtually go in a very short period of time from anxiety to awareness. Anxiety to awareness creates metacognition, where you live in objectivity, and you don't overwhelm yourself trying to be positive. When you try to be, you've already created so much pressure on yourself that you'll create the relapse. If you're a chronic relapser, that means that you relapse emotionally over and over. You revert back, you fall back into, you create a space to fulfill your feelings. Take a look at anger. For those of you who have not read the book, The Anger Factor, it is a priceless piece of content that can unequivocally change the way you shape your feelings. I wrote the Anger Factor a little under 2 years ago, released it about a year ago, and it's changed many people's lives. That book is so good that we're taking that to a whole different set of agents and publishing companies after having many of them tell us that the content wasn't valuable enough. Well, the proof is in the result, and the result is many people have contacted me and told me that that book has assisted them to reshape and change the way they perceive unresolved anger and repressed anger. Anger is based on a past violation. If you're holding on to anger, you're holding on to an event that created those feelings. As you begin to let go of the people and situations that you have held accountable for your anger, then you're no longer connected to that anger. You can separate yourself from it. As you're no longer angry, you don't fly off the handle, you don't lose your composure, you don't yell at people, you don't honk at people, you don't talk at people, you don't tell people what they have to do, you don't tell people what they need to do. It means you're able to come down in your body, relax, and be able to have a very calm, relaxed conversation with people. You're able to live in peace and power, not overwhelmed and anger. If you're one of those kinds of people, I highly suggest you address this as soon as possible, because this kind of repressed held on anger creates a state in your body that will create diseases. As you begin to let go of your feelings about events, there's a high probability you can unequivocally change your brainwave in a relatively short period of time. If you live in a very, very frantic, overwhelmed state, if you're undisciplined and unorganized, if you hoard because you can't let go, if you're holding on, if you tell yourself, where do I start? It's so big I can't start. It's not so big, it's one day. You start to live one day at a time in a place of ease and simplicity. As you start to live in a very relaxed, simple, methodical state with a system to succeed in, a system to live in, you will change how overwhelmed you are. But when you get overwhelmed, when it's oftentimes about anxiety about events that have not happened. This is why so many people have fear of flying, fear of traveling, fear of going over a bridge, because they can't control the outcome. They have anxiety about the suspension breaking, a wreck. It's a proven fact that more deaths occur in automobiles than ever in plane wrecks. In America, when's the last time you even remember a tragic plane accident? Well, it's not very often. Only a few a year even happen. But many more people perish in car accidents than ever in planes. But if you have a fear of flying or anxiety about a situation like that, or you have a spastic colon, or you have irritable bowel syndrome, that's about events that you try to control. When you try to control your control, you end up out of control of the control you think you're in control of being out of control of. And the more you understand that, the less likely you will be to be in control. What you want to be able to establish is a command performance. You're able to command the presence. You're able to command your emotions. It means you're able to, on command, be in an emotional state in the present, in the now. I'm in joy. I'm in bliss. I'm in love. I'm aware. As you start to be and stay in awareness, then you'll spend less time in anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and overwhelmed feelings. If you're going to own a business, your business requires prospecting skills, sales skills, marketing skills, communication skills, connecting skills, branding skills, writing skills. But when you automatically say, I'm not good at that, then you've spoken into existence a reality to keep yourself safe and disappointed. When you tell yourself, I'm learning how to be skilled at my vocation, when you tell yourself it's easy to learn how to write, it's easy to post, I'll master it. When you start to speak to yourself differently, your body starts to respond. When you speak in an overwhelmed state, your body reacts. It goes into fight or flight. It affects the upper cervical of your neck. You drop one of your shoulders. You raise your other shoulders. It affects your low back. Your hips then become out of place, and you have one leg longer than the other, sometimes about anywhere from a quarter inch to a half an inch, sometimes even to 1 inch. You'll have one leg longer than the other because your hips are out of place, because of how much anxiety your body is. When your body is in an uptight, frantic, overwhelmed state, your body's secreting a neurochemical called cortisol. You're in fight or flight. When you live in that kind of energy, you'll attract your reality, perpetrators, violators, people of low energy, people of low self-esteem that expect you, want you to over-obligate yourself to them to fulfill your enabling tendencies that keeps you emotionally addicted to codependence. So when you start to let go of being codependent, you can attract independent. When you become independent of your past, then you're no longer codependent of that past. When you're in the moment, in the present, in the now, then you're creating a whole different level of energetic, emotional vibration. When you start to achieve, then you let go of being an underachiever. Now let's take a look at this. A large percent of society over-obligates and underachieves. Why is that? Because you've been conditioned to behave to take care of others. Now let's break this down. Fanfare for the common man, being able to empower others, serve others, being there for people is a necessary requirement and component of life. We require other people. We really do. Service and value, and there's nothing more rewarding sometimes than being able to serve people and really feel good about it. But if you have a big discrepancy and a big separation between giving and receiving, so if you're a 90% giver and a 10% receiver, if you're an 80% giver and a 20% receiver, if you have deserve issues, if you can give, but you don't feel comfortable receiving a compliment, if you're not good enough, then it'll show up in your deserve factor. Your deserve factor means I am enough, I am capable, I am good enough. If you don't feel worthy, if you don't feel good enough, it'll show up in who and what you attract. As you begin to let go of the events that shape your feelings, as you become a lot more aware of why you do what you do, as you can objectively look at your background, your childhood, your adolescence, your 20s, your 30s, and you become objective about who and what you've attracted throughout the annals of your lifetime. Look at your parents. Look at your grandparents. Who did you mate? Who did you date? Who are your friends in grade school? Who are your friends in junior high school, college, in your 20s, 30s, and 40s? That will tell you the lineage and the history of your attractor factor. If you look around your network marketing business, your direct sales business, and you have enrolled a lot of people and no one's producing, that's a direct reflection of what you're doing is relatively new. You're unskilled. You're untalented at it. You're in the process of learning. But it's also a direct reflection of what is familiar, what is predictable, and what is routine. As you become objective and realistic about who and what you've attracted, now you can adapt, adjust, and change. In your rigorous honesty, you want to be clear about who and what you've attracted. What is predictable? What do I tend to do? As you look at your tendencies, if you're chronically late, chronically start and don't finish. If you start projects and don't follow through on it. If you live in an overwhelmed state, if you are chronically late, if you're behind, as you become rigorously honest about these situations, then you can begin to change your dialogue with yourself, your dialogue with receiving, your dialogue with reserving, and most importantly, your dialogue with money. If your dialogue with money is not conducive to attracting people you can create it with, then you will tend to have a dialogue with money of underachievers and under-earners. If you have been a chronic underachiever and an under-earner, meaning for those of you who are noble strugglers, this is very common. For those of you who over-obligate yourself, this is what happens. You get and stay disappointed. You do too much for others. You don't get the recognition you feel you deserve. No one's given you any love. No one's given you recognition. Babies cry for it. Men die for it. Recognition. Recognition is important, but you want to get recognized for your production, not for your codependence. You're not going to get a lot of fanfare for the common man for being codependent because you will tend to do too much for the planet and for other people. Now, once again, this is context. This doesn't mean it's a black and white situation. This doesn't mean you stop giving and you stop serving, but it means you start to have some harmony and balance in your ability to ask, receive, and deserve. You must be and stay comfortable in being able to ask people for commitments. But if you're not committed, if you're a chronic underachiever, you're going to have commitment issues. If commitment is not in your vocabulary, if commitment does not show up in your sentence structure, if you're not committed, committing, or you can't say the word commit without cringing, then you have commitment phobic issues. A large percent of society does this. This shows up in business. This shows up in relationships. Unfortunately, many people can commit to a job, but they can't commit to their own business. That's one of the biggest contradictions that you will have to resolve. You can commit to trade time for dollars for $60,000 a year, but you can't create value in yourself to create $60,000 a month. Now, that's a contradiction. Well, I couldn't imagine myself creating $60,000. You are right. If you can't imagine it, if you can't believe it, if you can't see it, then you are overwhelmed, meaning that you can't see it. If you're not capable of being able to let go of the control that keeps you an underachiever, then you're going to have challenges mastering the moving parts of success. Now, what many people do is they can over-obligate themselves to giving and serving, but they can't create the responsibility to be successful on their own terms because they can't see it. They can't imagine it. The moving parts overwhelm them. The moving parts to success require discipline. And the discipline to success is emotional. As you begin to become the emotional being that you know you're capable of, as you start to live in awareness, bliss, love, joy, and on command begin to create synchronistic events to your reality, you attract like-minded success seekers that you can collaborate with. As you start to create synchronistic events and meaningful coincidences on command, because the person you've become is the parking space is always there for you, as the leads begin to change for you, as all of a sudden a different type of person begins to show up, as all of a sudden in your inbox people are coming to you rather than you trying to stalk them, then you know that energetically your game has changed. And this can start to happen in a quantum leap, some becoming greater than whole of parts. 2 plus 2 equaling 16. How does that happen? Because the sum becomes greater than the whole of part, meaning that the dues you've paid, the books you've read, the podcast you've listened to, the downloads you've listened to, the events you've attended, the rallies, all of a sudden you start to create a simple, subtle shift in your reality. You're no longer going to be the mind-body connection. You're no longer going to be victimized or the victim of a perpetrator. You're no longer going to let people that are passive-aggressive say things to you that disempower you. You're no longer going to be the counterforce to people's force to put you in a position that you have to validate, justify, and explain yourself. You're going to let go of that kind of energy and move into awareness. In your awareness, you have a lot less anxiety about what you say and who you do. So when someone says something to you that's off the wall, you don't make excuses up for them. It's very common for a victim of a violent situation to protect their perpetrators. It's very common for you to tell yourself that you had a great childhood while you're living in dysfunction, in denial. It's very common for you to protect your family because you're too guilty to be honest with yourself. You're not going to confront your family, you're going to confront yourself. Confronting your perpetrators and violators seldom ever gets you the result or recognition you seek, but confronting yourself, forgiving the people who hurt you, stepping into your power, letting go of your anxiety, starts to create to your reality and attract your reality people of a different kind of like mind that you can collaborate with, you can create reciprocity with, you can create prosperity with. As you become rigorously honest with yourself, as you let go of your control, as you let go of your anxiety, as you let go of your story about the outcomes that haven't happened, aren't real, you start to send a different message. As you let go of your mixed message. A mixed message is, please join me, please sign up with me, but I'm not capable of leading you. I'd really like to have you in my team, but I don't have enough self-esteem to ask you to join my team. Please join my team, but I haven't had a product experience, but I can't share with you how you could have a great product experience. As you let go of your anxiety and control, stories that don't serve you, you start to be and stay in your power, then you don't feel disempowered. When you start to have a better understanding of the inner game, you can ask a prospect a question and hear what they meant, not what they said. Let go of the situation. Then you won't be in doubt, overwhelmed, and think, wow, I should have asked this. When you can let go of your analytical, egoic mind, when someone actually delivers content for you instead of challenging them, which is a very interesting situation. This is frequent. I'll deliver content to someone. They'll ask me a question. The content I deliver to them, they automatically have to challenge it because this is what they do to alienate the very people they seek to have in their circle of influence. And if that is you, change tonight. Would you rather be right or rich? If I was paying Tony Robbins $100,000 a month to coach me, which that is one of his fees, that's one of his packages, 12 coaching sessions for that kind of fee, if he's giving me content on the question I ask him, I'm not going to interrupt him in mid-sentence and challenge his authority. Why would I want to do that? Oh, I know why most people do it. So they can alienate the very people they seek to attract so they can justify being disappointed, making $4,000 a month rather than $40,000 or $400,000 a month because they would rather be right than rich. If that is you, or you grow up with that kind of passive-aggressive personality, or that is you and your passive-aggressive personality, then stop alienating the very people you seek to attract so you can stop fulfilling your disappointment. As you are you and you are free, as you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings, you're in the process of letting go and separate your feelings from the events that shape them. Then you're no longer the identity from the past. You start to be the person in the present that you're capable of becoming. When you're here and you're now, when you're in the present, not the past, or anxious about the future, then you are here and you're now, you're in the present, you're in the now, in the know. When you know, you're in trust. When you're in trust and in the know, you're in the quantum field. In the quantum field, a whole different set of content and information is now accessible to you through the quantum field and the Akashic Records. Now you begin to receive at a very high level of consciousness. You're starting to transcend your level of consciousness. You're moving from awareness to enlightenment. In enlightenment, you start to attract your reality, a whole different type of situation. All of a sudden, your whole team changes. I was watching on Facebook, and I've seen this many times. I've watched Jennifer. I've watched Alexis. I've watched Tara, CG. I watched many of you congratulating your team. I watched Jennifer Trinkter congratulate one of her team for being a 6-star and a 4-star in her company in one day. What does that mean? It means that there's a quantum leap happening. I've seen that happen with Alexis, CG, Tara, and Susan Sly. I've seen it happen with many of my clients. I watched Arthur Tubman, Corey Shaines. I've watched Mark Hoverson, superstar internet marketers that I have the unequivocal privilege of mentoring early in their career, start to achieve 6- and 7-figure income results, some of them 7-figure months. I've seen this happen, quantum leap, some being greater than whole of parts. When you start to live in that energy, in that type of vibration, when you start to let go of the control that keeps you out of control, when you start to sweat in your low back and your temple because of how inspired you are, when you come from that kind of energy, when you have that kind of conviction, when you have that kind of tenacity, when you will not be freaking denied, when you come from that kind of place, when you have a lip biter, when you have that kind of energy, when you will do whatever is required, you will sell off everything you own to pay to play the game. When you come from that kind of juice, that kind of integrity, that kind of authenticity, people feel you. They feel you in the other side of the globe. They show up from Australia. They show up from Canada. They show up from Tucumcari, New Mexico, Buzzard Breath, Wyoming. They show up. They show up from Big Piney. They show up from Medicine Hat, Canada. They show up from places around the globe because you are you and you are free. In that kind of emotional energy, people begin to feel you. It's not what you think. It's what they feel. They feel that kind of – they feel that you have it. That is the it factor. That is the swag. When you come from that kind of belief, that kind of sense of certainty, that kind of commitment, you will sweat at your temples. You'll sweat in your low back because that's the kind of sexual transmutation that you are bringing to this juice. When you have that kind of juice, that kind of DNA, people feel it. See, you can't explain that. You must experience that. That is when your leads change. That's when you close 7 sales in a week like Allison Schlitt did, one of my clients with 2 3-year-old sons, pregnant with another child on the way. When you come from that kind of situation, like Jenny does, you will quit your job without anxiety about how you're going to make it. You're not going to fake it till you make it. You're going to produce while you're learning the skills. When your language is solid, when you are stable, when you're in the game, when you're committed, and commitment shows up in your vocabulary, when you will not be denied, when you are certain, when your sense of certainty is so rock solid, you do not relapse because you cannot afford to relapse. If you ask me what I do when I get overwhelmed, I don't get overwhelmed. I can't afford it. People go, oh, sure you do. No, I don't. I don't get overwhelmed. I'll have a wall-kicking moment, but not a wall-kicking minute. I'll relapse for a very short period of time, but only a few seconds, because the show must go on. The ship must sail. The ship is in the harbor. Get on it. Get in it and sail to your destination. My name is Jeffrey Combs. Be and stay present tonight. My number is 209-932. 0227. If any content I've delivered with you tonight has inspired you, want to find out a little bit more about my coaching services and how I can assist you to let go of the anxiety that keeps you overwhelmed, call me at 209-932-0227 or inbox me. Let me know what you would like me to assist you with and your level of sincerity and seriousness about taking yourself and your game to the next level. 209-932-0227. For the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be crisscrossing the country. This Saturday, I'll be in beautiful Fort Lauderdale, Florida on the Atlantic Ocean. Next Saturday, I will be in the Pacific Ocean in Marina Del Rey. Now, isn't that awesome? I'll be a few steps away from the Pacific Ocean next Saturday and the Atlantic Ocean this Saturday. You too could live a life by design like that on your terms and your time frame as you begin to let go of the control that keeps you out of control. You're no longer emotionally addicted to a set of feelings that create your identity. You are you and you are free and you know that you know. My name is Jeffrey Combs. Have an outstanding Tuesday night and a great rest of this week and finish this month strong so that when you enter into August, you are in the process, in the flow, in the now, and in the know. Good night, everyone.